understand this. And I think we started 3 weeks ago. And I'm going to go back. If you haven't listened to Curtis's teaching on this, how he got into the history of it. That's excellent. I mean, and I'm not saying it just because it's Curtis. But that's one of the best teachings I've heard on where it generated from. Because clearly you could see that this thing had a beginning. So if it had a beginning, it means it did not come from Jesus Christ. And we saw through Curtis that the beginning of it started about 1,400 years after Christ. So this is something new. It has not been in the Bible. It has not been taught. The early church fathers, you guys know me. I'm going to stay to the Bible, but I do like to go back to the very early church fathers who sat under the apostles. That's where I draw the line. The ones who sat under the apostles, what they believed and what they taught. People like Barnabas and Clement, and guys like this, Polycarp. And they weren't aware of any ages of dispensation. And as we saw, as I started, I think last week, the doctrine of it. First of all, dispensation needs to be defined. They defined it as ages. And then we saw through Deanna, Pez Dispenser, that it is a dispensation. That somebody is dispensing the gospel of grace to mankind, and it is up to you to receive it. They're not ages. So I thought that just looking at, and you know, my studies on this are the doctrines of dispensation. They do call them doctrines, because there's many doctrines that come with dispensation. But the Bible talks about the doctrine of Christ. One doctrine. So they can't be multiple doctrines if there's only one doctrine, and that is the doctrine of the Bible, of Jesus Christ.
Even in that, it says that in the last times, people would be listening to doctrines,
doctrines of devils.
And teachings of men.
That's right.
I may have said that backwards. Teachings of men and doctrines of devils.
Yeah.
And this whole idea of dispensationalism, I truly believe, from just doing the research, looking at it, that this here was a deception that was set out long. I mean, it showed up in the 1400s, but even before that, the groundwork of it was set out. John said, many antichrists come out from us.
Yeah. And like Curtis said last week, too, I mean, I kind of threw out there that I believe there was a 90% of what I would consider evangelical, fundamentalist, Bible-teaching churches. And he said, I think it's 95. I'm starting to agree with him. I think it is. I think this has really permeated what we consider not Catholics, not Eastern Orthodox or Coptics, but evangelical, Bible-believing Christians. This is really the doctrine that's being taught to them. And I think a lot of us know it. We weren't aware of its roots, even though most of us were taught this. And we actually have a guy that comes here. I love him. He's a great guy, Ryan, the sheriff there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or, I don't think he's a sheriff.
No, he's a police officer. Tom.
Yeah, but he's a great guy. He loves coming here. He's here on Tuesday nights, and you know, he said that they go to Calvary Chapel. And I said, I guarantee they're dispensationalists. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he said, well, I don't know what they stand on. And that's what dispensationalism is. It's really hidden in the teachings and in the preaching from the pulpit. They're not going to come out and rip open the book like we've been doing and destroying it. They're teaching it underhandedly. And I said to Ryan, I said, are you looking at their church statement? If they're premillennial, pre-trib, they're a dispensationalist. So I actually went on the church website, which is Calvary Chapel. They're nationwide. And they are. They're dispensationalist, pre-trib. And that's why I say, just pray for these people. It's not like we're trying to get people in here because we want numbers.
Right.
We want people to come here because of Bible truth. And that's what I was saying. I was talking with Paul and Curtis. Some of these people that have left, they've criticized us. And they'll call us names, but yet they won't debate us on it. They won't challenge, you know, why did you leave? Well, you're a call. You're teaching not one saved, always saved. Well, instead of leaving, why don't you come here and we can go back and forth through the scriptures? But they won't. Instead, they just leave being led around by man and doctrines of devils.
And it isn't convenient gospel. Right. Dispensationalism, it really is.
Yeah.
That there's two different people groups, the Hebrews and the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are special to God, and they're not going to go through any trouble. They're just going to float away someday. And, I mean, what a great scheme.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. So, and that's what I said. That's what you start to notice about dispensationalism. I would say the key elements of it are a pre-trib rapture. There's more than one gospel.
Yes.
There's a gospel for the Jews. There's a gospel for the Gentiles. There's different. In other words, there's different paths of salvation for different people.
Yes.
And the false doctrine of once prayed, always saved.
Amen.
So
I like the way you put that. Once prayed, always saved.
Yeah. And so, I mean, this is it. And this is what they teach. You don't have, you can bow your knee to Christ and go live how you want. Mm-hmm. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you keep my commandments.
States.
Oh, yeah.
I think
an evangelical church. I don't think this is big in Europe.
It was rejected. That's how they ended up here.
Yeah, and it goes back to Schofield.
Absolutely.
And I think that's
Schofield,
in the United States in particular.
And, that's what I say. I mean, you can see its roots had a beginning, and it started with a pre-trib rapture, that somebody had a vision of a pre-trib rapture. I always thought dispensationalism gave birth to the pre-trib. It's not. First, they had to come up with this vision of people taken out before tribulation. And then dispensationalism, well, because it doesn't mesh. Now you have to start dividing people, and that's what dispensationalism does. It takes your Holy Bible, which is the gospel of grace from Genesis to Revelation, and it says, oh, this is for you, this is for the Gentiles, this is for the Jews, and it chops it up into three groups of people. But yet, the Bible's written to the believer, right? Like I said before, you're going to have a whole bunch of unbelieving Jews over there in Israel reading the Book of Revelation.
Right.
There's nothing in here for an unbelieving Jew. This is for the believer,
or any unbeliever,
right?
Right. You
don't
have a lot of people going to the bar every Saturday and read your Bible every Sunday.
That's right.
Lost in dark and light.
Right.
Lost and saved.
And that's what we saw last week. That they try to say, well, this is for the church, this is for the unbelieving Gentile, and this is for the Jew. The unbelieving Gentile, they're not reading the Bible. There's nothing in there for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's for us. It's written to us, for us, and this is what they say. Well, it's written, it might be written to you, but it's not for you.
Yeah,
it is. It's all for me.
And, you know, I've had that conversation with folks before that say certain parts of the Bible isn't for you, it's for the Jew. Matthew 24. Well, that's not for the church, that's for the Jew.
Yeah.
Well, I can't find one place in Matthew 23, 22, 20, 19, 17, 1 that makes that separation.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? There's
the Matthew 1, the birth of Christ, is that just for the Jews?
Right.
Matthew 13, the parable of the seed and the sower, is that just for the Jews? No, they pick and choose what they want to be for you. It's circular reason. The narrative is pre-trib rapture.
Right.
Paul said all scripture, not some scripture.
That's right.
All
and
scripture.
Study. Now I actually want to get into this. So last week we looked that they say dispensationalism is the ordering of divine period of ages. But yet you will never see the age of innocence, the age of conscience. You will not see these ages anywhere in your Bible. And I'll say this. The Bible uses the word world. It says that the end, when is the sign of the coming and the end of the world. The dispensationalists change it to what is the sign of the coming and the end of the age.
Right.
So when this age ends, what takes place? The new age.
Right.
And we know the age is, the age of Aquarius,
Helen
Blavatsky, the Theosophical Society. Now you're going into the occult, which dispensationalism, like John said, he had it on his phone. They call Jesus Christ the capstone. Can you show me anywhere in the Bible where Jesus Christ is called the capstone? He's called the cornerstone. And what is the capstone? The capstone is this all-seeing Illuminati
eye. $100.
Right? That's it. It's the eye of Antichrist, right? He's got one eye. The one eye is darkened, right? I can't remember where it is. I think it's in Zechariah. One eye is darkened. That's the all-seeing eye of the Antichrist coming down on the people who are the building. He's the Antichrist that's going to rule over people. They just called our Lord and Savior the Antichrist. Okay, so then they say that it is the literal interpretation of Scripture. Literal. And remember that. That's what they're saying. That they literally, the only way you can understand this, Kevin, is by that book there. And this is what the cults do. And we've recognized all the other cults that have done this. The Catholics, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses. All these ones that have taken a book and said, well, you can't understand this book unless you read this book. They've all done that. But yet, they've done this.
Yes.
And yet they're in what we would consider most of our brother and sister churches.
And again, we said last week that, and I don't even know if I agree with this anymore, I agreed with it last week, that fully trusting dispensationalism would not send you to hell. I don't know if that's true.
I agree.
Because you're believing another gospel, which is not the gospel.
That's right.
And the Bible often says those who turn away. You're not prepared for the suffering and being able to endure, and you turn away,
anytime you're caught up in lies, I think you're in danger.
Exactly.
Yes.
I don't know. That's not for me to decide. But I just think.
Yeah, you're in danger.
You are in danger.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And we know that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says there's going to be a great falling away in the last days. What's going to cause that falling away? Well, you've been telling believers that they're going to be taken out before the tribulation.
Doctrine is what you believe.
That's right.
Doctrine is what you believe, and what you believe is what your actions will follow.
That's right. That's why
it doesn't matter whether you're walking down the hall of your home.
That's right.
It doesn't matter where you are, who's around you. It doesn't matter if it's people. Your doctrine determines your actions.
Absolutely.
And it'll bear fruit.
Yourself.
That's right.
Oh, you're going to follow what you think.
That's right. The doctrine are the scriptures.
Right.
Whether I like it or not, that's doctrine.
Right.
So this doctrine tells me your people are going to suffer before. Did not Christ suffer?
Yeah.
Did not Christ suffer? And he said, what they've done to me, they're going to do to you. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. But yeah, we have a bunch of people telling you, oh no, that's not for us. Those are.
All your troubles go away.
We're going to be gone. Oh, that suffering, everything is always for the Jews. You know, the same God that doesn't want hell to suffer, and he's going to remove him, is going to allow that suffering for Jewish people.
Well, here it is, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. All right? And it has that little period and comma. I think that's a semicolon.
Yes.
And when you have a really big colon, it's the size of a semi. And so, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. It goes through some things right there. But look at that. Speaking lies in hypocrisy.
Yeah.
That's just the same. They're speaking lies in hypocrisy, acting one way, living something else.
That's right.
And their conscience is seared with a hot iron. So even though they can't even realize that they're not believing what the Bible says, their conscience...
That's right.
When Jesus talked to Saul on the way, he said, isn't it hard for you to kick against the pricks?
Right.
His conscience was seared to the direction of God.
But at least Saul could recover.
Yeah.
Right? Seared with conscience means with knowledge. It means your knowledge has been seared. And when it's seared, it's separate. It's fried. You don't get it back.
Yeah.
So, and then last week we looked at that it separates the church from Israel, and Israel gets land. We looked at all that stuff. So today, part number 4 says that it explains philosophical and prophetic scriptures. That explains philosophy. That I need that to explain philosophy to me. So let me just read to you a verse, and then we'll look at this. Colossians 2:8. You don't have to turn there. But lest any man spoil you through philosophy.
Thank you. Come on.
And vain deceit. After the tradition of men, right? After the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So, here you go. They're telling you that this stupidity, this explains philosophy and the prophecies of the Bible. Well, you know what? My Bible explains these things. I don't need this book to explain philosophy. First of all, let's look at philosophy. Dave, Leviticus 27, Gala, 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. Listen to the philosophy of the... Now, I put these two, Old Testament and New Testament, to show that there is one people, one Bible for those people. Because this is what they say. They say that there's a separation between us and the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. This is Leviticus 27.
Oh, 27. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God.
Does it say sanctify yourself and sacrifice bulls and goats and keep the... Is that what it says? It says be holy, right? That's Old Testament. It tells us to be holy. Okay, go ahead, Miguel. New Testament. Let's see if this is the same doctrine.
Verse 8.
Yeah, go ahead.
And ye shall keep my statutes.
There you go. There you Thank go. You for
and
adding that.
And do that.
Yes. That's right.
I am the Lord which sanctifies.
There you go.
Right.
So the works follow the confession of faith.
1 Peter 1:15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Sounds like we're supposed to be holy, right? That's philosophy, that we're to be holy. I don't need this to tell me to be holy. I need this to tell me to be holy.
And that book you're holding in your hand doesn't say that you can even be holy.
That's right.
If I'm not mistaken, when I went through Larkin, he actually says that you are not able to be holy.
That's right.
You can't be
That's
holy.
That's right. But we're commanded to be.
Well, we're commanded.
We should step back up one verse.
Go ahead, Alan.
As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance.
Yeah.
Be holy.
Be holy. Yeah. That's right. You've left the old world, and now you're walking in.
No, I'm going to say a prayer, and then I got to go about my business.
Yeah, right. I don't think it's wrong
Peter
to sleep.
Peter is actually quoting Leviticus there. And so it's proof that the Old Testament is still well and alive.
That's right.
Yeah,
there's no cutting it off.
Same doctrine.
He's just quoting.
Right. Same doctrine, same gospel. Right? Even in the Old Testament, he says...
Every time Jesus quoted Scripture, what was he quoting?
That's right. I tell you what, you want to get blessed? Read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and everywhere it says, as it is written, go read where it was written. You're going to get greater understanding. You're going to get a blessing, a deeper knowledge of what Jesus is talking about. Like Curry said, he's quoting Old Testament.
Yeah.
And yet, it's New Testament doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there you go. There's the philosophy of it. We're to be holy. Here's some more philosophy.
Hold on just a second. Leviticus 11, 44 and 45 also go along with that.
Yeah,
cool. It says, for I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourself, and ye shall be holy. For I am holy, neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy.
Right.
Now look at what it says, sanctify thyself.
That's right.
That means there's a responsibility to me.
You play a role.
I play a role.
The New Testament would be your vessel.
Your vessel.
Look over, that's a New Testament of what he just read.
Absolutely.
That you're to look over your vessel. You to keep it clean. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This temple. This is the temple.
Well, examine yourself to see if you are in Christ.
Yeah.
In the faith.
In the faith. Thank you.
2 Corinthians 13:5.
Yeah.
examine yourself whether you be in Christ, lest you be reprobate.
Thank you.
Right?
Amen.
He's warning you. He's telling you, compare yourself, your life, with these scriptures.
Right.
He's comparing you. These scriptures teach a holy living.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't. Right. This says you can just profess something, let somebody lead you in some prayer that's not in the Bible, and you're good to go. Go live high. Go live with your girlfriend. Don't marry her. You can get drunk. You can watch this. Let's use these kind of words. Listen to that. Go ahead. Live how you want because you're in. You're in. You've already got the crown.
Mm-hmm. That's what I used to believe.
Right?
Sure.
That's
yeah.
right. That's the Nicolaitanism.
Yeah.
These are the deeds of the Nicolaitanism, which is mentioned twice in the book of Revelation in the churches. He says, those things that I hate, the deeds of the Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans were hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
They would tell you, do this, do that, and they wouldn't do it. They would live like the devil and say, well, I'm saved.
Mm-hmm. Takes away the fear of the Lord.
Yep.
Well,
in 2 Timothy, we're always taught to memorize 2 Timothy 2:15, and the study has shown thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And that's where I was. I was listening to all these teachings.
Yes.
Babbling.
That's right.
It's leading to ungodliness.
Right.
And we, you know, I studied 15 because that was the right thing to do and why. And we never really went further.
Read 16.
What we were being taught. We never really dug into what we're being taught.
Yes.
And that's why it's such a difference to me right now, if that's safe.
Jim, I'm glad.
How far?
That's
how
right.
far can you go?
I'm glad you brought that. Did you ask me something?
Well, I was going to say that once you say it, you're in. What it does is it encourages just
lascivious,
shallow Christian life.
That's right.
Convenient.
Yeah.
Convenient.
And like
comfort driven.
Like Jim said, this is one of their key doctrines. I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot. I wanted to actually start with this. I'm glad you quoted it because I wanted to start with this. This is one of their key doctrines.
What a coincidence.
I'm telling you, I'm looking at this. I'm going, I wanted to start with this. I'm so glad you brought it up because this is one of their key doctrines. They say, rightly dividing the word of God. And to them, that means you chop it up. This is for them. This is for. But my Bible is rightly divided. There's an Old Testament and a New Testament.
Right. Chapters, verses.
It's one doctrine. It's correctly divided. I'm going to show you what he says about
it. It's only said once.
It's right.
It's to Timothy.
It's right.
Yes.
And he tells you to study yourself approved.
Yeah.
That goes along with 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself. Did you want to say something, Jim?
Yes.
Go
ahead. Chapter 17. And thy word will eat that stuff of cancer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A boom has
this.
I mean, it's a quiet. But it does. It eats at you.
Yep.
And it gets into you. And it's hard to get
that's
that
right.
out if you
yes.
haven't studied it so long.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say the people that have criticized us, I'm guaranteeing this is what they've been led away by. Not by this.
Right.
Well, we don't want you to leave. We want to honor God. We want to honor the scriptures. These words in here, they are Jesus Christ. They're Him. We'll go by it. You prove us wrong, fine. But you better do it here and not here. I want to show you what He says about this. He quotes the verse, rightly dividing the word of God. Then He says, a student of the word of God here spoken is a workman, and a workman cannot intelligently do his work without a plan. He must have drawings. You see, you need these. You need these charts. You need all these drawings. I don't need those. I need this.
In fact, I think the only time that Jesus did any sort of drawing is when he talked to the woman who was caught in adultery.
Yeah.
And he knelt down and scribbled something on the ground.
Yep.
So what was that drawing?
So that's what he says, that a person must have drawings and express. In other words, he says that the Holy Spirit told him to write this book.
Yes.
So in other words, he's a 13th apostle.
I do believe that a spirit told him.
I guarantee it.
He missed the un with the little dash.
The same spirit that he worships that has
the capsule.
That's the one that told him to write this. So he says, the student of God must understand God's plan and purpose for the ages. Don't say that. The Bible doesn't say that. Or there will be a confusion of his work in interpreting the scriptures. See, you need this to interpret the scriptures. He goes on to say, but part of its address to the Jews, part to the Gentiles, part to the church. He just took your Bible mm-hmm. and chopped it up.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so I could go on and on with this foolishness. In the New Testament, the epistles. Here you go. Jim, did you know this? In the New Testament, the epistles of Hebrews and James are to the Jews. Hebrews and James. Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith. Right. That's not for me.
The Jews.
These people who love to quote Hebrews 10:25 about going to church, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, right? Now it's not. Is it for me or not? And they're going to tell you, well, Hebrews 10:25 is for you, but 10:26 isn't for you. How do I know what to believe anymore? How about if I just believe it's all written to the believer?
Right.
Go ahead,
yeah.
There's one part, I forgot what verse, it just I remember, it said first the Jew and then the Gentile.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's common.
Salvation, that's Romans
that's right.
chapter 1.
Yep.
It's first to the Jew and then to the Gentile.
A person that doesn't study the Bible is going to assume every spirit that talks to him is God.
Amen.
And you're supposed to try the spirits just mm-hmm. like you're supposed to try the apostles or prophets.
Yeah.
Find out.
Well, we've had that happen here recently. There's an individual getting special revelation outside of the Word of God. All right. And when you brought the Bible to him, he got offended and he left.
Well, I believe that was the spirit.
Amen.
But again, you got to try the spirit.
And that's why I told you that. He's saying that I'm getting this extra stuff, and since you're an old wineskin, you can't have it because this is new wine, and it will blow you apart. It'll just kill you. But I'm a young Christian, so since I'm a young Christian, I can accept this new teaching.
And he's doing what all the other cults do. They have a special revelation by God just for you. Outside of the scriptures, Charles Taze Russell, Joseph Smith, Clarence Larkin, John Darby, they're all getting these special downloaded messages from God that are for you. That Nancy, you're too much of a nitwit. I need Clarence Larkin.
That's not true. You're not a nitwit.
See what this does, though? It even separates us from them.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, there's one more thing here. He says, for the sick is not primarily a promise to the church, but to Israel. He's separating the promises of the church from Israel. There's one promise, that we're all going to be gathered together in his kingdom mm-hmm. under Jesus Christ. And that's what they do. They separate. It makes me sick. Okay, so I'm glad. Thanks, Jim. So, so we're getting back to the philosophy of the Bible. Doug, Habakkuk 2:4, Nancy, Romans 1:17. Old Testament, New Testament. Different doctrines or same doctrine?
Back at what?
Back at 2:4.
2:4, okay. That small book card to find from. Okay. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith.
Okay. The just are going to live by the law? Gala is saying by slaughtering bulls and goats or by faith. So if you're in your Bible, right in by next to Habakkuk 2:4, write Romans 1:17.
Come on now.
This is how your Bible works. This is how you rightly divide.
The 95 thesis.
Yeah. Amen, it is.
There was
you're right.
Martin Luther.
Who's got Romans 11?
I don't get it. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hmm.
From faith to faith. Old Testament faith, New Testament faith. The same doctrine. The just shall live by faith. Not a separate doctrine for the Old Testament and a different one for in the New Testament. Same doctrine. There is an Old Testament. Thanks, Doug. There is an Old Testament. There is a New Testament. It's not just one Testament. The Old Testament died in blood of Christ. So, there's your philosophy. The just shall live by faith. Let's look at...
Yeah, so I had a conversation with another cousin who is the brother of this other cousin that I'm always talking to. Because he had been re-educated in his faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned Martin Luther and the 95 Theses and the just shall live by faith. And he goes, oh, well, some people would... Well, I said something about him talking to him in heaven, and he goes, oh, yeah, well, some people believe that he won't be in heaven. I go, oh, that's very interesting.
And Martin Luther's not going to make it to heaven. Oh.
Because the just won't live by faith. I'm like, oh, wow, this is like, I can't talk to you anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do. I think, Kayla, I think we try to, you know, get in there, but if they're going to reject it, walk away. Just walk away. It's not worth arguing.
This is a Baptist minister, but okay.
Yeah. And it's
going to be a Catholic priest.
Well, I'll tell you what, I know a lot of Baptists.
I know somebody like that, too.
I know a lot of Baptist preachers that have not left the Baptist and have gone, and they're off the rails, too. So, okay, so.
Again, Jesus told us not to cast our pearl before swine.
Right.
All right. And the reason he said that, be careful when you have witnessed to somebody, give them, and they take offense to it, lest they turn against you and rent you.
That's right.
All right, it's not like where you rent the tools. Tear you apart is what he's talking about. So that cousin that you're talking about, family members that I know, right? You love them, you tell them the truth, they reject it, you come back, and pretty soon they're going to turn against you.
Right.
And they're going to tear you to pieces. They're going to break you up.
Can't just talk people into something.
Right.
That's right.
This is online, right? Because I know my oldest sister listens to the church service.
Oh, great.
So I told her, I said, sit down and listen to the Bible study. And I said, by the way, keep your notepad with you. Have Steve, her husband, is a philosopher type. He breaks down everything.
Yeah.
I said, have him listen to it with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, all you have to do is hear it being rejected.
That's right.
Yes,
that's right. Yep. I, like I said, I've never said you have to believe what I'm saying or Curtis saying, but I'm giving you scripture. Well, so you might not agree with it,
that's
but
the one you got
scripture.
There you go.
That's the one you
that's
have
right.
to
say. That's
let
right.
the word of God be true, and every man a liar.
That's right.
It says when you witness to somebody, you look at them, are they a scorner? Are they somebody
yes.
that's
amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
That's good.
If they're a scorner, you need to back away.
Yeah.
It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
You know, but if they're interested,
that's right.
They'll receive it and
that's
they'll
right.
gain from it.
Well, and you and actually that's scripture because there's two verses that answer a fool according to his folly. And then it says don't answer a fool. So we are to use discernment on how to respond with people. But we're always to bring it.
Right.
Right.
Always to bring it. And the Holy Spirit will make that connection. If somebody really wants to hear about God, God's already working in that person's
right.
life.
Right.
You know, because no man sought after the Lord on their own, but the Father moved on them and drew them, made a curiosity.
That's right.
Now, if you're having to force the conversation, let it lie.
That's
all
right.
Just
do it in prayer.
Do
just
it
ask
in prayer.
God
Amen.
To,
yes. Yeah.
To get them in a position where they're willing to listen.
Yes.
If they will.
If they will.
But if he doesn't draw them,
that's right. He has to draw.
He has to draw.
We're just in the way. Right? Okay, so more philosophy here of the Old Testament and New Testament. Psalm 32. And then put a finger in Romans chapter 4. And like I said, if you're a Bible marker, right next to Psalm 32, I would write Romans 4. So Psalm 32, listen to this philosophy. This is David. After he committed every sin you could possibly commit, right?
Chapter 30, verse 2.
32.
Yeah. Just chapter Psalm 32. Psalm 32, well, we're going to look at 1, 2, we're going to look at some verses. But Psalm 32. So this is David after he fornicated, committed adultery, had a man killed, right? He broke every law in the Old Testament. But
Nathan.
Doug, did Nathan say, okay, I want you to go sacrifice a bull, a goat, a dove? No, he didn't. Listen what happens here. Psalm 32. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute not iniquity, whose spirit there is no guile. 5, verse 5, I think. Yeah, I have acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely the floods of great waters, and they shall not come nigh unto him. Verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. So what's the philosophy here? Bulls and goats, Alan, or grace?
Mercy.
Mercy. Mercy. So Romans covers the same thing right here. Romans 4. Where am I here? John, Romans 4, 6 through 8.
Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Promise this blessedness then upon the good part. Where do you want me to go to?
Yeah, 9, 3, 9.
You sneak on.
Romans 4, 6 through 9, John.
Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham. Righteousness.
So there you go. It's quite the same thing. Psalm 51 says the same thing. This guy who was caught up did everything I never did, but yet God found mercy and grace upon him because he confessed his sin. Same philosophy in the Old Testament and as the New Testament. And I like this too because he says in verse 6, God imputeth righteousness without works.
Right.
Without works.
Which holds on to that Romans 4:10. How was it reckoned? How was it
figured
to Abraham as righteousness?
That's right.
He was in the circumcision or in uncircumcision?
That's right.
Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. So before the circumcision, the promise of God came through the sacrificial circumcision. God already imputed righteousness, reckoned it to him before that ever happened.
That's right. And what did God talk about circumcising in the Old Testament?
Your heart.
of your heart. The flesh is just an outward, like baptism. It's just an outward showing of what you believe. He wants to say, he wants the heart. This is the Old Testament doctrine, grace, mercy, right? Same thing. And I like 9, it says, Jew and Gentile, same group of people. Yeah. Come with this blessedness upon the circumcision or and upon the uncircumcision. Same thing. The same blessedness for the Jews, for the Gentile. But yet they say, oh no, no, there's a difference. They need to, they get saved by grace, though. But they have to keep the law, too.
Well,
so
in Galatians, right?
We're going through Galatians on Tuesday nights, and it's never been more obvious how this fits like a hand in glove. Not an O.J. Simpson hand in glove. I mean a real hand in glove, how grace has been ministered unto man. The gospel of grace, there is one gospel, one doctrine, from Genesis to the book of Revelation. It is the dispensation of grace to mankind.
Right.
Anything outside of that, and I'm starting to agree with Curtis, we say, well, they might be dispensationalists, but they're our brothers. This is not my brother. I'll say
right.
that. This is, dispensational is not my brother. I don't know about the people. May the Lord will deal with them the way he's dealt with us.
Yeah.
But this doctrine is not my brother. And I'm not going to fellowship with it. I'm not going to a church that teaches this. So Romans 10, the same thing. This stuff's huge. Romans 10, we all know this, but listen to the verse 8, 10, 9. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Who doesn't believe that? Who doesn't believe that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead? Who hasn't confessed this? Okay? Thou shalt be saved. Does it say, Kevin, about works? No. If you believe God raised him from the dead, you confess with your mouth, you're going to be saved. Right? For with the heart, that's what he said in the Old Testament, circumcise the foreskin of your heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever, Jew and Gentile, believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord is rich unto all them that call upon him. The same Lord. This is grace. On the Jew and the Greek, the Gentile, is set salvation through grace. That's not what they teach. They don't teach that. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's your philosophy. Do I need this teaching me philosophy? Or do I need this teaching me philosophy?
Right.
But yet he says, you need this to understand philosophy in your Bible. Well, how about the prophetic? He says, you need this for the prophetic teaching of your Bible. Which, I mean, pre-trib rapture?
Well, basically, all this is I know more than you know.
That's right.
Yes.
You need me.
So follow me because
yep.
you won't understand this.
I wonder how much money he made off.
I was just
going to
say, it's a good thing he's given away that book and not selling
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right.
Although he's selling that book.
I know.
Mine.
That's
yeah.
Sarcasm,
right? Like the guy that wrote the book, 88 Reasons Why Christ Will Return, and he's selling the book.
Yeah.
If why are you selling a book if he's going to come back at any second? Right? And then he was wrong. Either he did it 87, 88, or
he did it 2, 3 times.
Right? And so he did it. So he was wrong. Christ did not appear imminently, which the Bible doesn't teach.
Because it was the second edition.
He wrote the second edition. Why he got it wrong about the 88 reasons. Why? If you believe he can appear any second now, why are you selling a book so you can make a rich
And what do we do with a person or a friend that we think needs to buy it? Don't sell it.
Right. No.
Okay,
right.
That'll be $49.99.
By the way, he sold that book, then he sold the book that got it wrong.
Yeah.
And people bought it.
Right? You know what? I do this. I spent a lot of time on computer putting this on a PDF, printing them out, handing them to death. I need free people to pay me for this. this cost
too much information.
This cost like a penny. I need like $15.99 for each one of you for this.
These scriptures were hidden in caves.
Yes.
Were chased in
yeah, that's right.
Would these people risk their lives
that's right.
to publish what they put out.
Right.
Would they
no.
Right.
No.
be guarded by God?
That's
and
right.
Preserved?
This is pride. Mm-hmm. This is pride right
well,
here.
I like what Kevin just said.
Yeah.
Those who followed Christ were willing to suffer for the hope of a better resurrection. I don't know if anybody I know would die for the thing that Clarence Larkin has taught.
Right.
Or Schofield has taught.
Yeah.
I can't think anybody says, I'm going to be wrapped in a cloth and set on a pole, caught on fire, that I can be the living light.
That's right.
Because of that book.
As
this
a
book, yeah. That book. No.
As a matter of fact, what I've noticed about it is, as you grow in knowledge and wisdom of the scriptures, they got a problem with you.
Yeah,
they're
yes.
not our brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They want us to call them their brothers, but they'll throw you out of your church for what they, if
yes,
you go against
know.
Dispensationalism, if you against pre-trib, their money king,
yeah.
you know, if you go against that, they'll threaten you. And I know, it's happened to me. They'll threaten you. They'll tell them, get out. You're going to
mm-hmm.
talk about that stuff? Really? We can't discuss the Bible? We can't discuss doctrine?
No, we can't discuss your viewpoint.
That's right.
The Bible.
So the he says that this... That this heresy here is the prophetic. So, there's so many things I can think about. The prophecy's wrong. First of all, there is no pre-trib rapture. Second of all, they need a secret rapture.
Mm-hmm.
They need a secret one. So, Kevin, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Now, you tell me if this is going to, if the people are going disappearing secret. Because this is what's been ran down our throat. We're all going to disappear. You're going to be driving home, you know, from charity church, listening to your radio, Amazing Grace on your radio, and poof, we're all going to be gone, and we're all going to disappear. Make sure you leave a Bible track in your pants pocket or on the dashboard, because poof, we're all going to be gone. There's going to be some secret rapture, right?
What good is a track after we're all gone, then?
Yeah. Well, there's going to be tribulation saints that are going to be saved during the
same
tribulation.
They also teach you that during that time that no one will be saved because the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Church.
That's right.
Yeah.
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 You want me to get it?
No such thing.
Okay.
Amen. No such thing.
So listen to first. You tell me if this is a secret. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. Does that look like sound like a secret? With the shout, with the voice of an archangel. Is that a secret? With the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds. Is that a secret? Or is there a disappearing act going on here?
It's going to be like a dog to a storm.
Yeah. Yeah, only we're going to hear it. Right? Think of all the stuff that's going on here, Paul. So so we're going to meet them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This is not a secret. This is an open event where Jesus Christ appears in the clouds and calls his people up in heaven. Right? There's no secret going on here. And like Paul just said, think of the events. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. A shout, is not a dog whistle. A shout is the whole world hearing. Well, I come in the volume of the book.
Right.
Right? With the shout, with the voice of the archangel. So there's apparently an archangel with him. And if the archangel is with him, Matthew 24 says the archangel is going to gather his angels. And the angels are going to reap the harvest. So there's a whole multitude in heaven, Hebrews 12:1, right?
Mm-hmm.
As we are so compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses.
Yeah.
We're the cloud. Why are you the cloud? Because you just got resurrected and put on white raiment, and you are with Christ in heaven, ready to come down at Armageddon. This is not a secret. The dead in Christ, remember this word, the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's a resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
That word rise is a resurrection.
And first is important too.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Then we, which are alive.
Then, yes.
Right. Then the change takes place of the people. There's a resurrection. And when is the resurrection?
Last day.
Do you see any verse that tells you there's more than one resurrection?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be. It's always singular. It's always the last day. But they say the Jew doesn't get resurrected that day. I'll show you what they say. They say there is no resurrection for the Jew on that day. So just Mark 13, 24, 27. I want to show you what they say. So Mark 13, 24 to 27, you tell me when does this event take place. And Paul Keller, 1 Corinthians 15, 52.
All right, Mark 13, 24 to 27. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven.
So here you clearly see him. This is 1 Thessalonians in Mark 13, 24 to 27. He appears. There's the angels. Gathering, there's a harvest reap. Matthew 24 says that he's going to gather them from heaven to heaven. Mark 13 says from earth to heaven. This is the rapture, the resurrection of the just, right? One more. What is the timing of it? After the tribulation of those days. The resurrection is on the last day. Paul?
1 Corinthians 15, 52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
So there you go. Last trump. You know, Jim, where I find the last trump in my Bible? Revelation 11, the seventh trumpet. The last trumpet. And the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. He's going to give reward to the saints, and he's going to punish the unbeliever. Last trump. A trumpet's going to sound. Not a dog whistle, a trumpet.
Have you heard the I'm sorry to chase this down, I shouldn't even mention it. So have y'all heard the last trump, speaking of Donald Trump?
Yeah, I've heard this. Yeah.
Okay, that comes out of dispensationalism. That's another false teaching, all
right? Right.
So it my goodness, it just, I'm sorry, it just popped in my head, and I figured I'd keep it going just one time.
So I just want to show you what they say about the Jews about this event. So remember, turn to Hosea.
Right next to Hosea.
Hosea 6. Hosea 6. So he says this is the literal interpretation of Scripture. So Hosea 6, 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten us, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise. There it is, raise. What does the word raise mean? Resurrect. He will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. There's the Feast of Tabernacles that we've been talking about. We're going to be with him in his sight, the Godhead, with his people. So listen to what he says about Hosea 6:1. This healing does not refer to a resurrection. He literally is saying this is wrong and he's right. This healing is not a literal resurrection. The dead and the binding means the whole 12 tribes are now scattered and will be rebound into one nation again in their own land. You know, let me finish this. The expression, he will revive us, does not mean a resurrection from physical death. The word revive simply means that we mean, when we speak of revival of a religion, which is spiritual, not a physical. He's saying that this does not mean, so think of this too. What he's saying is that he's going to revive Israel as a nation. Mm-hmm. That's how it is, right?
Yeah.
But isn't he doing that with the church? He's bringing us as a group of people, right? So when he does the group, he does the individual with the group. He's saying, no, this is wrong. I'm right. You know what I said? I'm looking for a place when the Jew gets resurrected. I don't see one. from them. When does a Jewish person get resurrected?
Well, after the millennial reign.
See? What,
they've got to lay them off for 1,000 years, and then they're good enough.
Yeah. This is what they're teaching. This is what they're teaching. This millennial temple that they say is going to be built, the Jews are going to keep that. They're going to be living in their human bodies, right? And then after 1,000 years, they're going to get resurrected because they died naturally, right? And he's going to quote Revelation 20. We've done Revelation 20 until we're blue in the face. Turn to Revelation 20. Look who it is.
Well, while you're going there, I just looked up the versions for that raise.
Yeah.
And because you were saying revive, and my Bible says raise, and he says revive, and the New King James says revive, the New Living Translation says restore, and they're not using the word raise.
Right.
So how can it say the same thing if it doesn't say the same thing?
Revive does not mean
raise. Revive
does not raise. Right.
What was the other one that you
restore.
Restore does not mean raise.
That's right.
Revive to me is just like giving somebody life. You know, just like...
Right.
Yeah.
Reviving. Mouth resuscitation, heart palpitation, that kind of thing.
You're reviving the same body. Right? Yeah. Lazarus was revived. He didn't come out of the tomb with a new body.
Right.
That's what a resurrection is. It's a new body. Right?
Can I change this a little bit further?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've got it down to 1 to 3. In my Bible, it says it's the plea of Israel. That's them pleading to God. The reply of the Lord, O Ephraim, what shall I do with thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto you, unto thee? Your goodness is the morning cloud, as the early dew as it goes away. Therefore I have hewed them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgments are light they go forth. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of the God more than burnt offerings.
Amen.
But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There they have dealt treacherously against me.
Perfect. Same thing, right? Just what we've been no coincidences.
Yep.
No coincidences. Same thing, just what we've been going along with here. So, like I said, they're going to say that the Jew is going to get saved during the millennial reign by keeping the law.
Well, we know that the law has never one soul.
That's right.
It was never meant to save a soul.
How much more can it not save after the sacrifice of Christ? This is blasphemy.
Yeah.
This is open. This is another gospel. This is blasphemy. And that's why people think that there's going to be some temple. I just don't believe there will even be a temple.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be the temple during the millennial reign.
Yes and no. Okay. Yes. I think there is going to be a physical place of worship. All right. But the real temple, as it always has been in man.
Right.
Now, I could be wrong, all right?
But in that temple, you're not saying that there's going to be sacrificing animals.
No.
Right. That's where we're going to worship.
A brick and mortar temple, but that won't be the millennial temple. That will be the one that gets desecrated. The picture of that would be Antiochus Epiphanes.
Right.
All right? So the picture of it back in the time of the Maccabees. So there's a... ancient picture, and as you know, the Bible repeats itself, you know, or the time repeats itself. There's too many specifics about the size of it and stuff like that to say that there won't be a mortar and brick temple. Now, I might be wrong. You might absolutely be right, it's all spiritual. I don't know.
We'll see.
One thing for sure is I plan on being in Christ whenever that happens.
Yeah. So he's saying that the Jews, that there's two resurrections. He's saying there's going to be a second resurrection 1,000 years later, and the Jews are going to be resurrected. But look at who, first of all, they're not resurrected 1,000 years later.
Right.
It's the second death. The Bible does not say there's a second resurrection. So let's look at Revelation 20. We've done this 100 times. Look at 24. I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received a mark upon their marble upon their foreheads or in their hands, or and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he at part in the first resurrection, that the second resurrection?
Death.
That the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, shall reign with him 1,000 years. So he's saying, there's no verse here that says there's a second resurrection. It says there's a resurrection, and you want to be part of the first part of that. One resurrection, there's two parts. Same day, two parts. A resurrection of the blessed, the believer, and a resurrection of the cursed, the second death.
No.
Because the cursed is the second death.
Where did God say this? Jesus said this. God is not a God of the dead.
That's right.
A God of the living.
That's right.
Remember, these are the dead that raise up.
That's right.
God's not a God of the dead. He's only a God of the living.
Look at verse 12. And I saw the dead, there they are, the dead, this second part of the resurrection, the dead, right? Twice dead. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, they're resurrected, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up its dead who were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So they were resurrected. There's a resurrection of the damned, and it's called the second death, which is the second part of the resurrection. Do you see any Jewish people being resurrected here? If they are, they're damned.
Right.
Right?
Being resurrected into righteousness.
That's right.
I do see multitudes of people being resurrected for the condemnation. I don't see anybody being resurrected for salvation.
That's right. But here's where they put Jewish people surviving 1,000 years and then being resurrected. And then they have to be divided up too. There has to be believing Jews and unbelieving Jews. So let me ask you something. We just looked at the wedding feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. When did they marry him? Right? There's only one wedding I can see in my Bible. It's when Christ comes, he separates the sheep from the goat, and he says to the sheep, enter into the kingdom. The Bible says many will come from the east and the west and sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the wedding feast. Well, if these people survived and got saved after 1,000 years, when did they marry Christ? Is he a polygamist? Is he now going to marry another group of people? There's no Bible verse for that. It's a lie. It's all a lie. Oh, we're doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why I say you could clearly see here. And then I started looking, when do these people say the Jews are going to be resurrected? Because Ezekiel 37 is clear to me. Let's look at it. Ezekiel 37. It's not just some nifty song. And we've done this too, but I just want to show you that they are going to be resurrected. And when are they resurrected? The same time we are. When you read Revelation 11 and the two witnesses, Elijah and Moses, they're not witnessing in Caledonia. They're in Israel. These people have built a temple. They're sacrificing in that temple. Elijah and Moses are going, that's not going to save you. He's coming. Get ready. And they're witnessing to Jewish people in Israel. And yet the Antichrist has those two killed. And it says, they stood on their feet and they were caught up. That's a resurrection, right? Same thing. This is the resurrection of Jewish people, right? So this would be the same incident in Ezekiel 37. Look at 3. Look at 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me in the spirit and sat me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath That's the Holy Spirit entering somebody. Breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you. He's putting sinews on them. He's making a body out of them. Right? And I will bring flesh upon you. What did Jesus say? We're going to be flesh and bone. Not flesh and blood. What did Jesus say when he appeared to them at his resurrection? Handle me, see that I am not flesh and bone. Yep. Right? Put in hither. He's flesh. A resurrected flesh, but no blood. So what does he say here? I'm going to put flesh on you. Isn't that not a resurrection? I'll put flesh on you and cover you with skin. What kind of skin? White raiment, how about? And put breath in you. There's the Holy Spirit. There's the Labyrinth. Right? And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And I prophesied, and I was commanded, and I prophesied. There was a noise and a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Verse 9, and he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds. This is Revelation 7, when there's the resurrected people standing before God. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, and that they may live. So I prophesied and commanded me, and breath came upon them, and they lived and stood. Same verse that he says about Elijah and Moses in Revelation 11. And they lived and they stood on their feet. Where am I? And an exceedingly great army. What's about to take? If they're an army, what's about to take place? Armageddon. So they got resurrected before Armageddon. With us, right? Not according to them. So who's right here, your Bible or Clarence Larkin? To me, this is clear. These scriptures are clear.
Are these the Jews of the Old Testament?
Any believing Jew from throughout history.
Well, 11,
it's resurrected.
11 says, then he said unto me, son of man,
yeah,
these bones are the whole house,
yeah,
of Israel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Behold, they say, our bones are dry and our hope is lost.
Yeah.
We are cut off from our parts.
See, what they believe is, this is what John Hagee teaches.
Right.
They don't need the gospel. They're saved because they're Jews. Whether you're Ahab, Jezebel, Dathan, they believe that they're saved just because they're Jews.
This reminds me of God creating Eve, mm-hmm, for Adam.
Yeah. Yep.
And made,
yeah,
the wife for Adam.
That's right.
And be the wife of the bride of Christ.
That's right. And that's the picture with that we are bone of his bone. We are flesh. We're the bride, right? Guys, we're the bride. We're the feminine. He's the masculine. It's clear.
Is there any difference between Jew and Gentile?
No.
The scripture says there isn't. The only difference is the saved and the lost.
That's right. That's it.
That's the only difference in humankind.
And that's it. That is the promise. They got some dispensation of promises somewhere,
yeah,
down the road there. The promise is in Revelation 3:15. Two seeds. The seed of the serpent and the seed of Christ. That's the promise.
That's the promise.
Okay, so that's the prophetic for them. Okay, so I just want to say some other things. This whole thing about a secret rapture, pre-trib rapture, they preach that there is one God, that there is more than one gospel. They say that there, who's heard this? The next prophetic event is the rapture, right?
Right.
The
next man who comes.
Yeah, the next man comes, right?
Anytime
now. Right?
Yeah.
The return of Christ is imminent. Is it? Second Thessalonians. So, that's what, like Dave just said. That's what I'm telling you. Nothing else needs to happen. The rapture is the next prophetic event on the calendar. So let's look at if 2 Thessalonians agrees with Clarence Larkin.
Why is there so much emphasis on what man writes? I never understood that.
I think men are sheep. like a lot of people would like to follow instead of lead.
It takes no faith to believe what a man says. It takes faith to believe what God says. You know, what a man says, you can buy his book.
Open things unseen.
There you go.
And
that's
don't
right.
Say they can't understand the Bible. They yes. can't understand the Bible because they're not saved, right?
Right.
So they want a man to tell them everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the stuff that they say I know.
So goofy.
Right.
But it sounds good. Right? That's how you
convenient to
that's
the
how you
feels
solve.
Good.
For a moment,
for a
it
moment.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
That's how you suck people in. Okay, so let's see. He said that what they say is the return of Christ is imminent. This is a common word they use. He could appear any second now and call his church. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 2. Now we beseech you, brother, by the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ, and our gathering of him. Right? Resurrection, rapture, that's the second coming. They soon not be shaken in mind, nor troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter. As from us saying that the day of Christ is at hand. You know what he's saying? He's saying don't let anybody tell you it's imminent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's saying right there. Don't let anybody tell you it's imminent. He's saying don't let anybody tell you that the day of Christ is at hand. Imminent. Right? So let's see what's got to happen first. Let no man deceive you. That's Matthew 24. There's going to be deceivers in the last days. And one of them is going to be the Antichrist. Many shall deceive you. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, what day? The second coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shall not come except there will be a falling away first, mm-hmm. and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Mm-hmm. They're simultaneous. There's going to be a falling away and a man of sin.
Now, have you heard this? Because one of my good friends from IGM told me that this falling away in the real Greek means rapture.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So in the real Greek.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah, falling in the Bible is a.
In the modern Greek, about 14 definitions down, they found the word taking.
Exactly.
Right?
So that doesn't line up with, even as I love the man, I told him that doesn't line up with any other scripture in the Bible. He says, don't, this great professor, he's a theologian, he's a good studier, and yeah. He says that the falling away actually is the catching up. But falling away and catching up are not the same thing.
Sound a little opposite to me.
So let's change it then. Let's change the like they do, and let's change it the way you would read that then. Let no man deceive you by any means that there except there shall be a rapture before the rapture. That's what they're saying. Right? That's what it's literally saying, that there's going to be a rapture. How do I know? By the rapture. But that's not what's taught. A falling away is an apostasy. It's a departing from the faith. And we have a second witness to this. This was brought up earlier. You don't have to turn there. Stay in 2 Thessalonians origin. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So there it is. That's an apostasy. That's what's being taught here. Not only is there going to be an apostasy day, but the man of sin, the son of perdition, is going to be revealed. So you know what I've been told, Nancy? Well, he could be on the earth right now. He could be. Who is he? See, a revealing is him saying, I'm God, worship me. That's a revealing. I'm told I'm going to see that event, right? And we know that from that point, we still have 3.5 years of great tribulation.
Yes.
Clearly. Mm-hmm. So I'm told I'm going to see that event. Man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, who that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple showing himself. What event is this, Kevin? This is the abomination of desolation. When he steps into the Jewish temple, he stops the sacrifice, and he says, you know why I'm stopping the sacrifice? Because I'm God. And you people need to worship me and receive a mark in your right hand or in your forehead, because you need to align with me, you need to be on my team, and if you don't, you're one of them. And I'm going to come and get you. Does this sound like imminence to you? Or in Revelation 13:7, it says he goes out to make war against the saints and overcomes them. Does this sound like some disappearing act? You know, because God wouldn't beat up his bride. Would you beat up your bride before you married her?
Well, where are the saints if they've been taken up?
That's right. Yeah, where are they?
Tom, many churches are saying that we're not going through the tribulation.
Oh, yeah, a lot. Most are.
Most are.
Okay? And then I quote in Matthew 24:29 where it says, immediately after.
Not for us.
Yeah.
That's your answer.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you give them a verse showing, oh, that's not for us. Everything's for the Jews when it comes to end times. But yet the book of Revelation is written to the churches.
Yeah.
To the churches. Right. Nowhere in the book of Revelation, they like to say, after chapter 4, the rapture happened.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because John is caught up in the Spirit, which is not a rapture. He's caught up in the Spirit, the same thing he did with Paul. He's looking around, and God's given him, Jesus Christ has given him information. He's writing it down. They say after chapter 4, the church isn't mentioned anymore on the earth. Guess what? It's also not mentioned in heaven. Your church is not mentioned in heaven. So you've got a problem here. Where are we? Are we in purgatory?
There you go.
That's what the candy says. See, this is
so
foolish.
I can buy candles and get everybody out of purgatory.
When we finally get into the book of Revelation again, I really do think this is all a setup for when we get into the book of Revelation,
yes.
Things are just going to drop in. They're going to be so easy to understand when we get into the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation says it's written to the churches. Nowhere does he say, and now I'm talking to the Jews. Not only that, I'm talking to unbelieving Jews who are sacrificing in the temple. It's written to the churches to prepare us for great, not just tribulation. We're in tribulation right now,
mm-hmm.
Right? He is preparing you for great tribulation. That they are going to persecute you, they're going to say, deny him, turn from him, and you will spare your life. And I'm thinking, do I really want to live during that time anyway? Yeah, Kev. Make a nice, clean cut. Let's get this all going. Right? I'm good with it. I think we did. I just think we covered so much. I almost wonder if it's worth going now. I mean, we can look at these next week, but I got a couple more things here. It says it interprets the word literally. The next one we're going to study next week. It says it interprets the word literally, doesn't it? Do you guys see that? So there's no even need to go on with this. It teaches imminence. It teaches pre-trib. It teaches a secret rapture. It calls him the capstone instead of the cornerstone. Here's one. The elect.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Jews.
What the elect
say? It's the Jews. No, because Matthew 24 says where the elect say, oh, no, those are the Jews. But yet Romans says, you're the elect. The saints are, literally, the saints are the elect. They change words. They don't even, and I'll say this too, where the Bible says that when Christ comes, he's going to regenerate the earth, they say refurbish.
Refurbish.
And I've heard this before, that there's going to be some, there's no verse, that when Christ comes, there's going to be some temporary planet where lions are laying down with lambs, which the Bible doesn't say. There's going to be some temporary planet where people are going to live on it. That's how it says. Jesus said when he comes back, he's going to regenerate the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because a perfect God with a perfect people need to live on a perfect earth.
Right.
Not some refurb. For refurbish is what you did next door.
Right, yeah.
You got to went in there and knock some walls down, painted. Our regeneration is, we're going to do this over.
Coming again. From the word Genesis.
Re-Genesis. It's a genealogy word. Okay? It's a DNA word. Not just mankind, not just the animal world, but the planet itself is going to get a new DNA.
A gene means to express the hereditary character of its former, which is the
creator. So there you go.
Earth itself will express.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's why you don't mess with your DNA.
Doesn't the whole creation talk about God? Romans 1? The whole creation declares his righteousness. So yeah, I agree with you. I don't think that we need to.
We could do these. We could go.
Okay.
We could go through this, but as far as building up to this, I think we've seen it's foolish. I mean, great salvation by grace. They say and works. You know, it's grace. It's always God's grace. But in the Old Testament, works. And then the millennial, saved by grace and works. And no. So I think what we'll do is we'll chase this stupidity, right? And then we'll be done. Who's learned a lot from this? Right? Who can see that you've been taught this and you didn't know it?
It never really made sense.
Dispensational doesn't make sense. It's confusing.
I was always taught that you are taken up with Christ, then there's a new, then it's the Hebrews' turn, all right?
Yeah.
They're not taken up, but we are judging the Hebrews with Christ.
That's right.
That's a lot of iron.
That's right, yeah. Yep. All right, anybody else? That's a great verse.
Because
that tells
he did not love the truth.
That's not talking about the unbelieving Gentile. That is talking about the ones who were on board. These are the ones who were on board, and they've apostatized from God. Why? Because they love not the word of the truth, instead of the doctrine of men. Father God, thank you for the doctrine of Scripture. Thank you that it is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and through Him we can learn and have our being. That only through the Scriptures is the truth, Lord. And I pray that anybody that is out there, we're a small little church, a few members, but that this would go out, not because we're something or I'm something, but there is only one doctrine, the doctrine of the Bible. Lord, I pray if anybody out there hears this and is a dispensationalist, that this would challenge them and cause them to come back to the Scriptures and feed us the Word of God as we are just lambs among you, Lord. Just feed us, guide us, help us as your flock take us under your wing. I pray for Curtis, Lord, that you would fill him with the Holy Spirit and fill this building with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Cause us to draw nearer to you, to understand doctrine and Scripture, and not the deeds and the traditions of men. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.